Amen. Thank you very much. If we have our Bibles, let's turn to the book we've been looking at in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I'll read from verse 1 to 7. We've been looking at fanning into flame the gift of God that is in us. And I read, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and now, I'm sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Amen. And so, for some weeks now, we've been looking at fanning into flame the gift of God that is in us. There's something that God has put in us. We shouldn't allow it to die down, but we need to fan it into flame. And as I share with you this morning, I just want to acknowledge that the material and the resources I've been using, I used John Stott, Ravi Zachariah, and other Bible scholars and commentators as well, as this passage, 2 Timothy chapter 1 from 1 to 7, just thrills my heart. You know, this, according to commentators and Bible scholars, this letter of Timothy, second letter to Timothy, was the last letter that Paul wrote. And he wrote this letter at a time that he was in a dungeon waiting to be killed. People don't know how long after he wrote this letter and it got into the hands of Timothy that he died. And so, it's something very important that Paul wanted Timothy to know about. Now, in this letter, there's a lot for us. And I'm trying to help us look into some of the issues that Paul is raised, even in the introduction of this letter to his dear son, Timothy. And there are three things I want us to take note of. Number one, that God understands who you are, and that's why he's called you. If God didn't know you, he wouldn't call you. And he understands how you are made. That's the first point I want us to know. And then the second point is that God knows all the influences you've received in life. And with that, he's able to gift you through them, these influences. It has made you a unique person in the eye of God. People may not see it, but before God, you are that person and no one else can be that person. There are times we are tempted just to fit into somebody's shoes and be like that person. God says that is wrong. And finally, knowing this, that God has done through his sovereignty to make us who we are, we have a responsibility. And that's what we've been talking about. To fan into flame this gift of God that is in us this morning. Amen. Recently, I think Craig mentioned that as eldership team and also the team that is in office, we did a test, a psychometric test. And with this test, these are some of the tests I never wanted to do. I don't like them. But when we did this test, it opened my eyes to see something that I feel from now on, and I know that I am unique. And you are also unique. So if we can look at this slide, this test is about how your brain functions. And after we've done the test, I went to do a lot of research. And even at work, I asked my colleagues that I work with in the management team to do the same test so that we can know how we are wired to do what God has called us to do. And what thrills me the most is that the one who initiated this research and went to look into this was a Christian. And for that matter, some of the things they speak about is about our Christian life. There are four aspects that happen in our lives, and we call them, this is how, these are called themes, activator and order. The one in red here, the one in orange, the one in blue, and the one in green, they are called themes. Your brain is wired into 34 themes. Every one of us have got all these themes in us, but they are packaged in a special way. Some of these themes help us influence others. And so if you have got more of the influencing wiring in you, you are able to influence people more than any other person. That makes you special. This one package here helps us to execute. If we need to do something, you are able to do them. And so if you are wired in this way, you are so special. There are those that help us to think strategically. If you want to do something, if you are wired more in this area, you are able to find a way. You are able to guide us to be able to achieve the things we have to do in a strategic way. And then there is the aspect that helps us to relate with one another. And there are some who have got more in this package. And you can see they relate well, even with their enemies. And this is how God has wired us. And what amazed me is that every one of us sitting here has got all these 34 packages in you. But then they are ranked according to how often you use this. And God has wired each one of us to use these things in a way. And so when Craig stood here some weeks ago and said after this test, he realized that himself and I have got the same package. Well, to an extent, because if you go to the next slide, you understand what I mean. Each one of us is unique. The main goal of this strength finding is when you know these teams that you have. For us, we were able to pay for 5. So these people were able to give us, each one of us, 5 of the main ones. The other 29, I don't even know. Now, this is to help us know the strength that we have so that we can use them to the best of our ability. Somebody asked me a question that if you are a father and your boy comes home from school and said, "Daddy, I got this 190, that 195, that other 199, I almost made it 100. But that one, Daddy, it was not all that good. I made 27. The question is, which of these subjects from 99 to 27 would you concentrate on? For me, the first thing would be the 27. Boy, you need to do well with this 27. You can do better. And I put all the energy on the 27 when out of maybe 6 subjects, this guy has done more than 90 in the others, the 5. But this one, you want him to leave the good ones. So you find we normally work on our weaknesses instead of working on our strength. That's the whole idea. The assumptions about this study, which I think is helping us to know we are unique, is that each person has talents that are unique and enduring. That means the talents you have, you can even pick it when you are a boy, as a young person, and it will take you to when you are old. It's enduring, and it is given by God. Your brain function is given by God. Secondly, each person will improve most in the area of his or her strength. If you do that, then the conclusion is based on the biblical principle that everyone has unique gifts with abilities if they can find what they are and utilize them to their best and maximum ability, God will be most honored. Now, the challenging part of this research that surprised me was the themes that Craig and I have. I think we have almost four of them. He has got four, but the fifth ones are different. But the packaging are, my first is not his first, even though he's got that. My second is not his second. And so for any two people to have the five, their best five to be the same, it is 1 in 34 million. So if we gather 34 million people, there's a possibility that there's only two of us who have the same five. For the 34, for two people to have all their brain wired in all these 34 areas, it says there's a word that I've learned for the first time called andecillion. I've never heard this word before. What it means is that if you write 1 and you add 0, is 10. If you add 0, 0, is 100. If you add 0, 0, is 1,000. And it goes on million. Now, if you write 1 and you put 36 zeros, that is andecillion. That's what they are talking about here. And so for two people to have the same set of 39 as each other, it is 295 andecillion. So there's no probability for that. You are unique. And God knows that. And so as we look into this, my first point this morning is that for God to call you, he knew who you are. God called Timothy. And he is working with Paul. Paul knows Timothy to be special. And Paul knows himself to be special. So when he's writing this letter, Paul says, from the apostle by the will of God. And that challenges me because Paul knew himself as an apostle. Remember, it is Jesus who came and chose 12 people and he gave them the name apostle. Paul was not there. But God, in his own wisdom, at one day when he was angry with the church, trying to kill the church, God stopped him and said, you are an apostle. And so Paul is writing to Timothy, and he knows who Timothy is. And at the time that Timothy is being entrusted with this office called a pastor, Timothy was a pastor at a church called Ephesus, the one that we studied a few months ago. And Paul is writing to him, I want us to know three things about this man, Timothy. Number one, the Bible makes it clear that he was young. He was young. And even today, I don't know how many young people are pastors of churches. How old are you? I'm 18. And what do you do? I'm the pastor of Grace Generation. Are you sure? We don't know the age of Timothy at this time. But one thing we know is that among the people, they knew him as young. And so Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 4. He says, let no one despise you because of your youth. Don't allow that. It is God who has called you. And for this, I want the young people here to know that God can use you in every way he wants to. One of the things that changed when I became a Christian that really changed my heart for me to know that the power of God is still alive is when a group of my friends were in a village. They went to the next village to evangelize open air, because in those days we wanted to organize. We were on fire for the Lord. We organized an open air meeting in the evening. And a young girl among the team stood in front and said, anyone here who is sick, come, we'll pray for you. And hey, people started coming. The others thought maybe some people will come with headache and they will touch you. I mean, if a headache goes, nobody sees. If it doesn't go, nobody sees. Now, there comes someone who had heard about the crusade or the open air and was blind. So, immediately she said that, there comes a blind person. Hoy. And all the leaders, the people, they didn't ask the lady to say that, but she said it. So now they started moving back. And this girl, in the power of God, touched this woman's eye and prayed. And the woman said, I can see. Now all the others who were running now came in to check. And this woman could see. Look, the power of God is still alive. God can use anyone. Let no one despise you because you are young. Especially in our African tradition. I'm not saying go and be proud and step on your leaders. But if God has touched you, move. He is able to use you. In fact, one of the things that Paul told Timothy is that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, he says, flee youthful passion. And that's something we need to understand. As a young person, there are some passions in you, especially for girls. It says, flee, run away from this. Because you are young, God can use you. And the enemy can use that to bring your testimony out of the window. So what the point I'm saying is, this guy was put in charge of a church. Humanly speaking, he was not qualified because he was young. The second point is, he was sickly. Can you imagine that? We've got a new pastor. Hey, every now and then, tummy problems. Every now and then, this problem. And Paul had to write. And sometimes I think about it. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, 23, he says, no longer drink water only, but use a little wine. We need to understand that. Not too much wine. A little wine. For the sake, because I believe for Paul to convince this man, he was not a drunkard. He was not drinking. Paul had to write and say, please take a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illness. And your frequent illness. Who will hire a pastor with frequent illness? We are expecting you to come and heal people. Now, today you are here, today you are not. What I'm saying is, Timothy, humanly speaking, was not qualified to be the pastor. And yet, God called him. And thirdly, he was timid. In fact, John Stott called him timid Timothy. He was timid. He easily freeze. To a point that at one time, when Paul sent him to the church of Corinth, he has to write a letter to be given to the leaders first. And the letter read in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 10. When Timothy comes to you, see to it that you put him at ease among you. For he is doing the work of the Lord just as I am. So let no one despise him. Help him on his way in peace that he may return to me. For I am expecting him with the brothers. That was the letter that was written. So this man was feeble. We want a pastor who will go for it. The pastor who will stand and put people right. That's what people look out for. What I'm saying, brothers and sisters, this morning is that no matter how young you are, God can use you. God knew. God knows you. God knows your situation. God knows even the bad things you've done. Just like the Apostle Paul. The wicked things he had done. God said, today, take everything out. I'm using you. God can use you. And he's ready. That's why he has called you. Well, and so this man was put in a position despite the weakness that he had. You may think, why is God calling me to lead a cell group? I've never been to a Bible school. Why is God calling me to do this and that? 1 Corinthians 1 verse 26 says, "For consider your calling, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise according to the world's standard. Not many were you were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in this world to shame the wise." So God knows us. And let's not, sometimes some of us, we stay in the church, we don't want to do anything because we think we cannot do it. God has called you, you can do something in this church. He's called you, He's equipped you, He understands you, He knows everything that you have because He put them in you. I remember very well when I became a Christian and I read Daniel. And as I read, I came to verse 11:32. And from the New King James, those days we were using King James, "Thou shalt," you know those ones. And this scripture really challenged me. He says, "Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery." But, and that's the word, "but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." And so we were young men, and all we said was, "We want to do exploits for the Lord." Young people, I want to challenge you. It's your time to do exploits for the Lord. Wherever you are, in your school, in your workplace, and the Lord will be on it. My second point is, knowing all that Timothy was, God called him, and God didn't take him to heaven right away. He put him with the brothers. And that's something we need to know. The reason why we don't die immediately, we become Christians and go to heaven, is God wants us to rub shoulders with one another. God has got something for us to do so that we can do it together. And so, he put him in his church. In fact, the first person, if we read the scriptures that we read, he says, and listen to this, "This letter is to Timothy, my beloved child." My beloved child. Paul considers Timothy as a child. The reason is, it is Paul who got to bring Timothy into the Lord. We'll talk more about it. But the first thing is, Timothy's grandmother, Lois, was someone who knew about the Lord. And because of that, because he was in the house, they trained her child, Eunice, with the word of God. And Eunice also became a Christian and transferred what is believed to her son, Timothy. The point I'm making is, God knows where you are, the house you stay in. In fact, if you read Acts chapter 16, the Bible says, Paul also came to Derbe and Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. So the mother was a believer. We don't know much about the father. We're not sure whether the father knew the Lord, whether the father was there or not. And I'm saying this, especially being a woman's month. God has equipped you. Normally, men will run away and leave children at home. But women, stay home. And I want to encourage you that help your children. Help your children. The things you believe in, help them. Let them grow in the Lord. And the Bible says, when you train up a child the way he should go, when he's grown, he will not depart from it. And so, Timothy's mother spent time with him. And faith began to come up. And so when Paul spoke the word of God to Timothy, wow, the ground was fertile. You know, there are times we cannot make our children become Christians. Christian, it belongs to God. He changes people's heart. But we can sow the seed. That's what we should do. Bring them to church. I'm surprised that they are sort of powerful men of God. They don't have time to lead their own children into the truth of the word. I was shocked one day when I asked someone, "Where is your boy?" "Oh, I dropped him at the cinema with his friends." "What is that?" We are living in a world that things are changing. And if we are not careful to bring our own children into the fear of God, the enemy will take advantage. Rabbi Zachariah said something, and let me say, he was looking at King David, the failure of King David, and he has entitled this divided heart, divided home. And this is what he says. All I'm saying to you gentlemen is this. With the 8, 9, 10 hours day that you keep, if you don't influence your children, your neighbors will. If you don't influence your children, television will. If you don't influence your children, the humanistic, secularistic media will. If you don't influence your children, the system of education in this world will control them till they no longer know what they believe anymore. This challenges me. Train up a child the way he should go, and when he's grown, he will not depart from it. In fact, some Bible scholars say that in the Hebrew, it means the word will not depart from him. The word will be him. And always when I read the prodigal son, I ask myself, the Bible says he came back to his senses. How did he come to, which sense was that? The sense that he came back to was what he was taught at home. And he said, my goodness, why am I, what? Eating pig food and they will not even give it to me. Look, pig, ngulube. They won't even give me that food. I can go home. Even the food that the maid and the servants are eating are better off. I'll go back home. Brothers, it's very important. It's time we bring back the family altar in the home, especially when our children are getting into the teenage group. Let's pray with them. Let's guide them. Let's lead them. And they will not depart from it. And all these things that we go through, as we were praying, and even as the word of God came, maybe you've been through a lot and you are depressed. Maybe, so because of that, that's all you can see. Let me tell you, God is molding you with all your experiences for the future ministry he has for you. Your father may not be at home. Your mom may have deserted you. You are staying somewhere. Maybe you lost your parent like myself. I lost my mom. I loved my mom. I lost my mom when our youngest sister was 3 months. And I was the eldest among them. There were difficult times. And now I understand why it happened that way. I began to develop love, especially for young girls. Even at school, I knew how I was always protecting the girls. Now when I think about it, it's because of the protection I had for my sister. And I transferred that into especially people who know the Lord. Because I know that the enemy can hit them. Being an orphan, today the ministry I'm involved in for this church and for my life is working with orphans and vulnerable children. Now when I look at this, I say, God, you prepared me for it. There have been times people don't even understand me and the things I do for other people. It's because God used my background, what I've been through, to prepare me. So whatever you've been through, whether it was apartheid, whether it's what, God, you know, sometimes, and let me say this, we've just restructured our cell group, and God is giving us a heart for people who have been affected by divorce. Maybe your parents divorced, and it has affected you. It's an area God is preparing us for. Because we have people amongst us who have got that experience of being left alone. Your father married another woman and this, and the pain that you go through, God is here to deliver us. And let's be ready for that. And so what I'm saying is, the things you've been through, God is using them to prepare you. Whether they are good or bad, he's using them to prepare you. Secondly, the Lord has brought you into the church. And as you are sitting here, your own children, you need to help them come to know the Lord. Secondly, you need to learn from one another. Paul, when he brought Timothy to the Lord, he started moving with this young man. He knew how feeble he was. But Timothy became one of the missionaries with Paul, going up and down until he put him in charge of the church. It's about time we begin to help one another. We begin to be there for one another and build one another up. Are you involved in cell groups? Some of us, we've come to know the Lord. We don't have fellowship with one another. We need to help one another. I was trying to look at the one another's in the Bible. There's a lot in the Bible. One another. Help one another. Be there for one another. Carry one another's burden and all that. That's what the church is about. The church, yes, much as it's about worshiping and praising God and all that, it's not how high you jump, but where you land. And the people around you, that is what is important. That is what is important. And we need to take serious so that we can be, you know, when you read Acts chapter 2, the people around, they saw what this church is doing. Wow. And fear came into the people. They were running into the church. 3,000 got saved. 5,000 later. And in Acts chapter 11, in the church of Antioch, what happened was that they gave the people who were called believers, they gave them a name, and that was Christian, because they were like Christ. They could see that. So my brothers and sisters, this morning, we need to have fellowship with one another and help one another. Hebrews 10 says, 24 and 25, let us consider how we stir fanning into flame. We need to also fan one another into flame. Stir, how we stir one another to love and good works. And let us not neglect the habit of meeting together, but let's encourage one another all the more as we see the day coming closer. We need to be there for one another in these days. And the third thing in the church is that God is able to give us gifts in the church. And you see that Paul was given, Timothy was given a gift in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. You know, sometimes in this church, we call people to come so that we can pray for you. These people are going to Eastern Cape. Let's pray for them. As we lay hands and pray for you, God endue you with power from on high. And it's only when you are doing things for God that you see the power of God in your life. If that lady had not come out and say, hey, if anyone is sick, come forward, we wouldn't see healing taking place. God will gift you if you go on doing the work. You will never see. Some people are crying and fasting to see the gift of God. You will never see it until you begin to make a move. And God will gift you. You will see how generous you are. The other time we were talking to someone, he says, hey, I was wondering why I didn't have blankets in my house. Not knowing any time people come and visit, oh, you cold. Then, okay, go with it. So people were taking all the blankets out of the house. It's a generous heart. Now she knows, I have generous heart for the Lord. What do you have? God has given you gifts. Use them. And finally, it's not just God using the things that has happened in your life to equip you for the future, nor God using the church through brothers and sisters and gifts and all that, but you have a responsibility. Those things are by the sovereignty of God. He's doing it for you. But there's one thing you need to do. The gift of God in you, you need to stir it up. You need to begin to move and do what God has called you to do. That beautiful voice you have, you think it was for you to sing to yourself? No. Just sing to people and you see how God will change them. That ability to be able to help one another, it's not for you to help yourself, but helping one another. That's what God is doing. Let's stand together this morning. I'm just trying to encourage all of us that you are unique. You are so special. If you don't do what God has called you to do, no one else can do it. Yes, we may be doing the same thing, but I can never do it the way you do it, because God has wired you in a special way to do it. And if we do that, the blessing of God is going to come upon us. And I guess, as the band comes up and we sing, I just want you to think about this. I remember one time I was with a friend. And he says, Benson, I'm yearning to see the power of God. I'm yearning. People talk about the power of God. I've never experienced it. And I told him, you can only experience it when you are out there for the Lord. And what is on my heart this morning for each one of us, you may have children in your home. You may not have children in your home, but you are working with children, maybe in this church and all that. You know one thing. God wants you to input and change their lives. You see, when they are children, you can bend them. I brought these two twigs here. When I was a boy, I liked climbing trees for fruits. And I realized the trees, the mangoes and all that, they are so high, and you find it difficult to climb. I intelligently began, when any time I saw any mango coming like this, I would go and do this. Hold it, and then make a knot like this, and leave it. This tree will grow, and it will bulge, so it makes it easier to climb. But when it is like this, and now you want to bend it, one day I almost died because this is not even strong. It just hit me back. When these children are with us, they are tender and soft. By God's grace and the wisdom given us, we can mold them. Let's not wait. And now we begin to blame teenage. No. The input we give them, even if they run away, like the prodigal son, they will come. Let's just sing this song together, and then we will pray and say, Lord, help me. I know I'm unique. Please accept that you are unique. No one is like you, and God is able to use you. Thank you.